welcome back. This brings us to section three of the course. And this section, I'm hoping we're going to do a relatively good job of just simply building upon everything that I shared with you throughout that last section, which ended up being quite comprehensive, didn't it? Now, if you have made it this far, and if you are enjoying the teachings, there's a pretty good chance that you're becoming better or slightly better acquainted with yourself, which is kind of the goal and the main purpose of this course. It's absolutely imperative, isn't it, that if we want to coach other people in life, we've got to become established in life. We've got to understand ourselves, how it is that we internalize our external events, circumstances, situations, relationships, our wins, our losses, because how we interpret everything that goes on our outside world pretty much determines how it is that we feel about ourselves and within ourselves in our inside world. And how we feel about ourselves, well, this is what presents people with problems, isn't it? So that last section we devoted to looking at our thought life, also exploring our emotions, how the two are intrinsically linked. And I want to open up this section of the course just by separating and really just showing these five areas of internal experience that we have. We've got our opinions, which are kind of like glorified thoughts, they're ideas. There's an ancient Greek philosopher, Plato, who I've mentioned once or twice up until now. He had a fantastic opinion about opinions. He said that opinions are nothing more than the medium between truth and complete ignorance, right? But if you listen to people throughout society, how many people have you heard say, but we are entitled to having an opinion? Everyone's entitled to an opinion. Yeah, it's fantastic as long as our opinions and our thoughts are actually based upon truth and not ignorance, which is obviously something we're going to have to work out for ourselves, isn't it? And something this course is going to hopefully help us to become better established in. The facts are not always thoughts. By now, I'm hoping you're able to identify that it's kind of like we have these two little voices whispering in our ear pretty much all of the time. We've got the little devil, we've got the little angel, we've got part of us that wants to do great things, we've got part of us that wants to sometimes do nothing or do destructive things. And it's not because we're bad at the core, it's just because we're all given free will, right? We can all go any direction that we want to in life whenever we choose to. Our emotions tend to be a result of the caliber and the quality of our thinking, and even our beliefs can actually be quite inaccurate and quite unhelpful at times. And this is pretty much what we're looking at this week, because this is where people get stuck, all right? It's kind of like our beliefs operate on this unconscious level within us, kind of deep down here. It's kind of like the more times we think about something or the more times we experience something, we kind of get our thoughts validated. Our validated thoughts end up becoming the beliefs that we build and base our life upon. I shared an example in that last section of the course about the, you know, the times that I'd failed in life. You know, if we fail once, well, this could be a, you know, a random event. If we fail twice, well, this could be a coincidence. But if we fail three times or four times or five times in a certain area, well, this could be a pattern which might therefore mean something about us. And if we are not grounded and secure within ourselves, or if your clients are not grounded and secure within themselves, there's a pretty good chance they'll go on to tell themselves some stories and end up believing some pretty unhelpful things about themselves. So it is absolutely crucial throughout life that we become established and grounded in truth all of the time. Because when we are not grounded and established in truth, we're just building our lives and basing our decisions upon the whims of our emotions and, you know, our own naivety and ignorance, i.e. our assumptions and our opinions. So, I like to look at beliefs kind of like this, all right? This is a kipper. Here in Scotland, I live in a place called Dunfermline, which is around about 50 miles away from a small town called Arbroath. Now, Arbroath is right on the coast, and it's famous for Arbroath smokies. Arbroath smokies are just smoked kippers, kind of like a Scottish delicacy. Now, I don't know how these things ever became a delicacy, because they absolutely stink. They really do. And this is why I want to use this big kipper here to represent our beliefs in life, all right? I want you to get this mental anchor going on inside of your mind that sometimes we end up propping up and doing our best to justify our beliefs, don't we? But sometimes our beliefs are just big, stinking kippers. All right, think about it. Some people go through life and they say, I'm no good at anything. I'm useless. I'm not smart enough. Then we have some people who say to themselves or other people, you know, I'm entitled to this. I'm entitled to that. And then we have expectations of other people, and it's kind of like the world should do us a service and should be committed to sorting our lives out. And what I'm saying is some people have some pretty unhelpful beliefs. And this kipper is on a table. All right. And this table represents the validated thoughts that become our beliefs. All right. Just to help you hopefully really, really grasp what I'm talking about here. Do you remember when I was sharing that timeline in the last section of the course? I gave reference to the experience that I'd had with my dad. When he was laying in bed, he just turned his back on me, and then he told me to get out, and then there was a Sandra Ng thing, and she kind of told me to go away. She told me that I stank, like I was a smelly boy, and then I didn't get picked off the football team, and then I didn't pass my initial army entrance tests. Well, when we're first born, we're clean slate. We don't have any beliefs. We don't have any world views. We don't have any ignorance-based opinions. We don't have any thoughts or preferences or orientations. All right, we're just wide open to learning and experience in life. All right, so see this table here as an idea, all right, or as an experience. All right, so say for example, we were to be born and then reach the age of 5 or 6 or 7 years old, and someone was to leave our lives. Right, now we're not going to know what this means, but it gives us an experience. All right, it gives us one experience here. And then at the age of 6, someone else was to leave our lives, and this gives us another experience, which is pretty much exactly the same. Now, what we're looking to do is we're looking to connect ideas, especially if events in our lives result in us feeling a certain way that we like or we don't like. Because we're meaning-making machines, we're looking to interpret our life's events all the time and come up with some sort of conclusion so we can justify the things and the events and experiences that we have in life. So let's just say that we reach the age of 10 years old, and then we won't really want to get picked for the local football team, but we don't. They don't want us because they say that we're not good enough. We're starting to identify this trend. All right, well, this person rejected me, I wasn't good enough for them. This person rejected me, I wasn't good enough for them. This person rejected me, I wasn't good enough for them. And then we go through life and we apply for a job, and then we don't get it because someone else is more qualified than us, more skilled than us, better looking than us. And then we see the man or the woman of our dreams and we ask them out on a dream date, and then they say no because they found someone else who's more attractive than us. And we end up going through life just having all of these experiences. And what we end up doing is we end up linking them all, all right? And we say things like, I'm not smart enough. I'm not lovable enough. I'm not skilled enough. I'm not talented enough. I'm not good looking enough. And then if anyone was to say, well, how have you arrived at that conclusion? They will say, because I had this experience back here, right? And then I had this experience back here, and I had this experience back here, and I had this experience back here. And that's the reasons why I'm not enough in this area of my life. That's why there is a deficit within me. This is why I have this big, fat, dirty, stinking kipper that's holding me back and preventing me from doing all the things that I really want to be doing in life. All right, a little bit dramatic, might seem like I'm going over the top, but I guarantee that we all have them. And the things about beliefs is that they operate on an unconscious level. So if I was to ask you right now, what do you believe? Well, if you are that way inclined, you could start talking about conspiracy theories, you could start talking about the aliens coming down, you could start talking about Jesus, you could start talking about God, whoever your God is, if there is a God, if there isn't a God. And generally, when people are given reference to what their beliefs are, all they're really talking about is their opinions, their thoughts, what they think might be true. What we think might be true isn't always necessarily our beliefs. Our beliefs operate on an unconscious level. Our thoughts and opinions and worldviews, they're pretty much all up here in the subconscious and in the conscious part of our mind. So when we ask people, what do you believe about yourself? All right, and then they go on to tell us, well, if people knew what they actually believed about themselves and were that connected and understood their beliefs in that level, no one would ever need any coaches or any guidance or any help or mentoring or coaching in life. Everyone would be fine at sorting their own stuff out for themselves. But the fact of the matter is, that our beliefs are and become that chain, that noose around our necks, kind of like the chain around the head of the elephant story in the last section of the course. So if we understand this, all right, it's not about us just trying to, you know, rectify and offer people new beliefs. And here's the thing, all the positive thinking in the world aren't going to change these big fat kippers, right? I've been in the personal development industry for long enough to know some of the approaches that people take towards shifting their beliefs. Some people like to stand in front of mirrors and chant mantras and all this kind of stuff. And you can do as much, you know, mirror chanting as what you want to, but that ain't going to rectify any limiting beliefs that we have, all right? We sometimes need to backtrack through the process and establish where the beliefs first come from, all right? The first thought we have goes on to then connect with a second thought about the next similar experience that we have, and then because we're meaning making machines, we're looking to connect all of our life's experiences to ultimately make sense of our outer world. So, this is a quote, a few ideas I've taken from the late great Gandhi. All right, it says, our beliefs become our thoughts. Well, our beliefs only become our thoughts once our thoughts have become our beliefs, because it's our beliefs that actually validate our thoughts for us, from a perspective anyway. Our thoughts then become our words, right? The things that we say, the things that we talk about the most, are pretty much just the things that occupy our mind the most. So if you want to know what a person's thinking about, just listen to the words that they're saying, all right? Ask them questions about themselves and they'll open their mouth and tell you all about what's going on inside of their mind. And we know that what a person is talking about is pretty much always going to be a reflection of that which they believe about themselves, whether they're aware of this or whether they are not. Our words become our habits. Our habits become our values. Our values become our destiny, whatever that means. So, I like this quote because it kind of does paint a nice picture on how all of these different aspects and parts of our human experience merge into one. There's no single part of us that stands alone in isolation. We can go through life thinking that it's okay to believe whatever we want to believe, and thinking that it's okay to say whatever it is that we want to say, and we can be pro freedom of speech as much as we want to. The funny thing about freedom of speech is generally okay as long as we agree with everything that other people are saying to us, isn't it? Freedom of speech can sometimes be a little bit of a funny thing as well. But what people generally talk about the most is just simply a reflection of that which is going on inside of their head, and that which is going on inside of their head is often, more often than not, a reflection of that which is going on inside of their heart. So share all this with you, all right? Just because it's important to understand as life coaches that when our clients come to us, all right, they most likely are not going to be quite as aware of the human experience as what we are going to be. So when they come through our doors and start giving voice to their issues, their challenges, their problems, their goals, they're going to have all sorts of ideas about what they think their issues and challenges and hurdles and problems may be, but they aren't always going to know. Because, as I'm hoping you're aware by now, the greatest issue that we have, the greatest noose that pretty much, you know, holds us back in life, isn't so much our ability or our perceived limitations, but is in fact just the beliefs that we have about what our abilities and what our limitations are. So this is pretty much what I want to explore with you throughout the rest of this section.